Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another episode of Why Don't I Just Get Started. I am your host, Robert Farrell, and it is Saturday, March 19th, 2016. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm so happy to be here. Today I'm going to talk about the five big decisions in life and why one other decision, besides those five decisions, is actually equally, if not more, important. So, what are the five big decisions in life? Well, first of all, let's just talk about that concept. We often say we have to make a lot of big decisions. I have a lot of big decisions to make in my life, and maybe with work or home or whatever, whatever. We have a lot of big decisions to make. But the truth is, I think we have only really five decisions to make in our lives. And they are, in no particular order, the following: who we are going to marry or spend our lives with, our educational decisions, our career decisions, whether or not we are going to have children, and our spiritual decisions. So let's talk about each one of those. And again, they're not in any order of importance. They're all equally important. And I'm going to just talk about each of them briefly because I believe there's another decision that's equally, again, if not more important than these five other decisions. So who are we going to spend our life with? Who are we going to marry? Now, yes, people can get divorced or change their minds or whatever, whatever, but it's still a huge, huge decision. I don't think most people enter into that decision lightly. I think most people, when they get married, they are hoping that this is the person they will spend their lives with. I don't think anyone goes into a marriage thinking, oh, I'm only going to do this for a while, and then I'm going to get out as soon as it's convenient. I mean, yeah, sure, there are people who marry for money or for whatever reasons. Maybe people get married out of guilt or because they've been pressured into it. Those things can happen, but even there, I think most people work through trying to make their relationship work, assuming it will be a lifetime decision. A decision in this regard, well, in all of these decisions, obviously is huge and will determine much of our happiness. Now, the next decision I listed was education. Now, with education, I am talking about which major to pursue, which college to go to, whether or not you want to go to college or pursue a trade or do none of those things, just get a job and hope that that meets your financial and emotional needs. I think this is a huge decision, and I say this probably from the perspective of a job coach, a career coach, but also from very much common sense, knowing that we spend at least 40 hours a week involved in our jobs, and we want these 40 hours to go as well as possible. Now, I was just talking to a very good friend, and we were kind of grousing a little bit about our jobs. Even though we both like our jobs very much, we were talking about how no job is perfect, and even the best jobs have some components that are not great, but overall, if you enjoy your job at least 80% of the time, then you're in a pretty good place. Now, I'm very fortunate. I like my job at least 90% of the time. Is it perfect? No. But there are no perfect jobs. There are no perfect careers, but the job is, and did I just transition into one without, anyway, I may have. But anyway, our career decisions are very, very important. So let me review. Our decision regarding marriage or who to spend our lives with is important. Our educational choices are important. Our career choices are important. What career do we want to choose? And career and education are very much tied into each other, although not always. The fourth decision is, and this may or may not be tied in with marriage, but kids. Do we want to have kids? If so, let me be very, very clear. If you do not have kids and you're thinking, oh, it would be so great to have kids, let me be as negative as I can about this. Having kids will pretty much change your life completely. It will at times suck the life out of you. It will exhaust you. Having kids is pretty much a never-ending job with some breaks in between, but it just goes on and on and on for at least 20 to 25 years. It is full of heartbreak and difficulty. It is full of all kinds of things. And honestly, I have told people, if you don't have kids, don't have them. Because you cannot even imagine the amount of work and time and effort that they require. On the other hand, if you have kids, or if you don't have kids and you want them, and you really want them, let me say, go into it with eyes wide open. Let me say that there's no way you can possibly anticipate all the difficulties and issues that you will have. And let me say that you will never, ever experience love the way you experience it with your children. Now, for all my complaining about my kids, I cannot express how much I love them, how much they mean to me, and how I would not give up 1 minute of my life for my kids. I would not trade anything to substitute for the experience of having my three daughters. I'll give an example. Last week, one of my girls called me, and she was really distressed. It was very, very late at night. I was actually sleeping, and she called, and she was just really struggling with some things. And I felt so honored and so touched, and I felt like my life had so much meaning and value that my daughter would think to call me and say, hey, I'm really hurting right now, Daddy, and I just need to talk. Because she could have called anybody. She could have talked to anyone. She could have talked to her mother. She could have talked to a friend or another adult. But she chose me. And there's no way I can describe how much love I have for my kids. And as I said, I don't think there's any other kind of love that like the love you have for your children. Now, there are other kinds of love that are, I believe, equally strong. The love for your parents, the love for your siblings, and the love for your spouse or your chosen mate. I think those are all amazing loves, but they're different kinds of loves. And they're not better or worse, they're just different kinds of love. But the love you have for your kids, you can only experience by having kids. When I was a teacher or a youth group director or a Sunday school teacher, I loved the kids that I worked with, absolutely loved them. And I thought, this is like parental love. But it really wasn't. It was a little bit of sentimentality mixed in with concern, with genuine love. And it wasn't invalid or unreal, but it wasn't like the love I have for my own children. I absolutely adore my kids. And yes, they create difficulties and time schedules and work and effort and money and everything else. But I wouldn't trade any of that for one moment with my kids. I absolutely love them. But I will say, again, this is a crucial, crucial decision. If you decide to have kids, realize it is a big, life-changing decision. And there's one other big decision. Let me review. There's our marriage or who we choose to spend our lives with, education, career, our kids, if we're going to have kids or not. And finally, the final big decision is our spiritual life. Now, you may be listening, and I don't know if you are of any particular faith, but let me tell you this. Everybody in the world makes a spiritual decision at some point. Some people choose to become Christians, as I did when I was 17. I have what would be called a born-again experience that I believe was very real. I believe was very valid, and it created a life path for me that was, for me, very powerful, very interesting, and had its own problems and joys. But my spiritual decision to ask Jesus into my life when I was 17 was a huge decision, and I think the best decision. But everyone makes a spiritual decision in his or her life. It may or may not be related to a particular spiritual belief such as Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or any other faith. It may be, your spiritual decision may be, I don't believe in God and I choose to live my life that way. That's a spiritual decision. You may make the decision, I was raised in a very religious or spiritual home as a Christian, Jew, Muslim, and I am putting all that aside to not focus on my spiritual life or focus differently on my spiritual life. Now, why is this such a big decision? Well, two reasons. One, I believe what J.I. Packer says, that our view of God determines everything else and every other decision we make. I also believe that there is eternity, there is life after death, and while I don't know that necessarily everyone's going to go to hell if they don't accept Jesus into their heart, I do believe that we are called to live this life in the most spiritual way possible and to the best of our abilities. I also believe that the best of our abilities isn't always very good sometimes, and that we do need spiritual help that's beyond us. And that is why spiritual decisions are so important. So again, the five decisions: marriage, education, career, kids, and our spiritual life. So if you think about it, those are really, I can't think of anything bigger than those five decisions. Perhaps one other, which would be divorce, and that's sort of tied into our marriage. That is, do I continue this marriage or this relationship, or do I end it? That can be a big decision, but that often, or I think pretty much always, has to do with our marriage or partner decisions. And then there are the crisis decisions. That is, for example, the biggest crisis I could think of is, what if you had to make a choice to keep someone on life support or take them off life support? That would be a crisis decision. There are probably other crisis decisions that come up throughout our lives. These are unexpected, spur-of-the-moment decisions that we may not have expected or had a lot of preparation for. But I think these are, for the most part, pretty rare, these life or death decisions, unless you are trained to make those kinds of decisions. Let's say you are a firefighter, a doctor, a police officer, a soldier. I think for the most of us, if you're not in medical or field or some kind of field that requires these kinds of decisions, I don't think most of us have to make life and death decisions very often. So I'm going to not focus on that simply because they are so rare. And I'm going to go back to the five decisions: marriage, education, career, kids, and our spiritual choices. And then I'm going to say that there's actually one more decision that I think supersedes all of them and integrates with all of them. And that is what I think is the biggest decision of all, and that is how we use our time. How we use our time. Now, before I go on, let me say this. I am not perfect. I do radio shows, I write blogs, and I speak from the ideal, from the perspective of what I believe is the best choice. This does not mean I always make the best choices or do the ideal thing or always even the right thing. And I want to be really, really clear on that, because if you're listening and you're feeling very motivated or inspired and you think, oh, this guy, he's so wise and he has so many good answers, let me be really clear that I do have some wisdom. I've been blessed with that and I'm fortunate. But this does not mean I always utilize my wisdom, my own wisdom. This does not mean I always make good choices. And I share this for two reasons. One is I don't want you to look to me or to anyone else as some kind of savior or hero or someone who has all the answers to your life. All the answers to your life are within your own reach. And this has to do with how you use your time. As I said, in my own life, I've made bad choices. I struggle myself with using my time well, with using my knowledge well. I make my own mistakes. But I believe within all of us, we have the potential to create better, happier, more financially stable, more emotionally successful, more relationally successful lives. And the way this comes about is our use of time. I am convinced further and further as I get older that the use of time is probably the most valuable decision we will make. And the use of time is a decision that we make all the time, constantly. And the use of time then pervades our spiritual choices, our career choices, our choices with kids, our choices with partners or husbands or wives, our choices in our education. How we use our time determines everything else. Now, I think that probably one of the most important things is to simply be conscious of what we are doing at the moment. Now, I'm just going to be very, very, very candid and say that I have two games that I really like that I play on my phone. One of them is Panda Pop, the other is Sugar Smash, and I love those games. And I'm very fortunate in that you can only play about five games at a time. And sometimes they give you some bonus games. But for the most part, you can only play five games at a time. And I feel that sometimes I waste time doing this. I feel that I can waste time just browsing through Facebook. Even though I love Facebook, and I'm not putting Facebook down, I think Facebook has some great things. But I feel like sometimes I just waste too much time. And this is what leads us to the big decision. What leads us to the big decision, stronger or weaker, is how we use our time and how we make little decisions. It is actually the small decisions that we make throughout the day, every day, that creates power or impotence in the big decision. Let me give an example. As I said, I became a born-again Christian in 1977, and I think that did some real good for me. But throughout my life, I made a lot of small decisions that pretty much invalidated the power of that big decision. For example, when I was in my early 20s, I worked at 7-Eleven. I was very lazy. I avoided doing work. I wasn't always nice to people. And I marvel at the fact that my boss not only never fired me, but he rehired me 3 or 4 times after I quit to do something that I thought would be better. And he kept me going and kept me on. He was just an amazing guy. So I made really bad decisions on how to use my time. So if I were to go back, what I would do is I would, for example, every night I would get out a clip down. Here are all the things that I have to do. And actually that was provided for me. My boss made that chart and I kind of rushed through it, but I didn't really excel in it. And I know my coworkers weren't pleased with me. And so I lost any spiritual validity or power or ability to share my spiritual beliefs because I was lazy. I wasn't a good worker. So why would anyone think that I had any sort of spiritual answer for them? And I've often said that I have very few regrets in my life. But if I were to change anything in my life, I would have been kinder and I would have worked harder throughout my life. And I think those nightly decisions to do the very least possible created large loss in my life. It created a lack of opportunities. It created less money for me. I rarely got raises, and I didn't deserve raises. I didn't even really deserve my job at all. And as I said, I think it was only the grace of God and the grace of Larry Matranga, my boss, that kept me alive in those times because I was extremely lazy. Here's another example. About the same time, I was very sloppy and messy. And I was, my car, my room were just disastrous looking. And I remember one morning, I got a note. It was a Sunday morning, and I got a note. It was taped to my window of my, I lived in the back of a house. I had a sliding glass screen door. And there was a note taped to the window, and it said, "Robert, your room is horrible. I really need you to clean it. It looks awful." And the thing is, nobody even lived there. They could see my room, but my elderly lady landlord, for whatever reason, went back there and she saw it and she was horrified. So I spent most of the morning, I skipped church that day, and just worked on cleaning my room. Now, how did my room get like that? Well, because I made little decisions constantly that instead of hanging something up or instead of filing something or putting something away, I would just drop it on the floor or throw it somewhere. And it became a huge disaster. My car, the car that I had at the time in my 20s, was so disgusting and overflowing with crap that a friend actually thought I was living in my car. I thought I was homeless. How did this happen? Through little decision after little decision after little decision that created big, big consequences in my life. This is what I'm talking about. All these little decisions add up. And again, we make big decisions. I'm going to marry this person. But then we make little decisions over and over and over that I'm not going to give this person that I'm with the time, love, and attention that they really need. I am going to have kids. Big decision. But I'm not going to spend the time and effort it takes to be a good parent to these kids. And again, these aren't big, like we don't necessarily beat them or abuse them or even neglect them, but we just don't do all those little necessary things that are important and meaningful. Now, let me say this, that no matter what decisions you make in life, you're probably never going to do it perfectly. You're probably going to make some mistakes. And you're probably always going to need room for improvement. But what I'm hoping that we will all do is say, let me look more closely and see if there are just little changes that I could make on a consistent basis that would make the big things better. Again, a lot of times, to make the big changes requires just small adjustments. I've mentioned this in the past. I read a book called The Power of Five, or I've read a lot of the book called The Power of Five. And one of the things it said is, for example, if you're cleaning your kitchen and you don't want to clean your kitchen, just put away five things and that'll make a difference. Or work for 5 minutes and that'll make a difference. And I can't tell you how much that advice has helped me. So, for example, if my kitchen is messy and I think, oh gosh, there's all these dishes, it's just so messy, I just feel overwhelmed by it all. And I say, you know what, I'm just going to put away five things. And I do. I put away five things. And then I say, you know what, that was easy. Let me just put away five more things. And then five more. And then pretty soon, my kitchen looks great. And this was not a big, big life-changing decision. It was just a small thing. A lot of times, I think we can take on big tasks simply by attacking them with small bites. So if I have, for example, a 15-page paper to write, if I can commit to working for just 45 minutes, I bet I could get a lot done. And then I wouldn't feel so overwhelmed. And if I could commit to working 45 minutes, maybe 5 times that day, I bet I could get almost all of it done and feel a lot better. When I was in fourth grade, I had the measles. And I remember I woke up Monday morning and my mom took one look at me and said, oh my gosh, you have the measles, you're staying home. Now, I wasn't suffering greatly other than itching and I had a slight fever, but I had medicine for that, so I wasn't suffering. So it was, for the most part, a little vacation. And I was quite happy, and I remember on Monday I wasn't feeling great, but Tuesday I was feeling better, and I was reading books and just enjoying my vacation. And then Wednesday I was doing the same, and around 3 o'clock or so, my mother yells, Robert, it might have even been on Tuesday, but my mother yells, Robert, Joseph Farrell, get out here. And I knew that the calling of my name with my full name, my middle name and all, meant I was in some sort of trouble. So I went out, and my mom said, look at this. And she gives me this piece of paper, a couple pages, and it had a list of about 50 assignments that I had not completed in fourth grade. And I remember this. A redheaded girl named Barbara, who was one of my classmates, brought it over and gave it to my mom. It was from my teacher, Mrs. Baker. And I had to complete all those assignments. And it was really hard. But if I had just done them a little by little by little when they were due, I wouldn't have had that big decision, that big crisis that I had to solve. So, my time is just about up, but I'm really fascinated by this subject, so I may go into this more in another blog or in another show. But again, let me say this. There are only about 5 major decisions we have to make in life. The rest of them all have to do with one overarching major decision. How are we going to spend each moment? Am I going to spend it playing video games? If so, that's okay to accept that that's what I want to do with my time. But can I spend it differently in a way that might be more productive for my relationships, for my spiritual life, for my career, for my finances, for my education? And again, it's okay to have fun, relax, and even waste time once in a while. But what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with each moment? Am I using it to the best of my ability? Okay, my time's up. 619-672-0378. Call me if you need anything. Thank you.